signs and wonders. You've shown your power with precious blood. You've showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end.
We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your grace. We will song and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. When we walk through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and he is the faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one whose glory has been shown. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
I still remember
some great preaching this week. Amen?
Amen.
We have heard some great singing this week.
Amen.
But more than anything else, above all of that, we have felt the presence of God in this place this week. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I have thoroughly enjoyed every message, every song, the moving of the Spirit in every service, and I am so thankful that people have been obedient. There's been someone in the altar every service starting on Sunday morning. And that's what revival's about. Amen. I don't know about you, but we stand in need of a good old-fashioned revival. And this might be, Pastor, this might be the last service we have this week. Unless the Lord does something and he wants us to continue. But that doesn't mean that it's the end of the revival. This just been a jump start for what God wants to do. Amen. If you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing Calvary as your place to come tonight. We appreciate that so much. We can never thank you enough. We are so excited about the singers we have with us this evening. Pastor will come around in a few minutes, and he'll introduce them to you once again. But it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord. I tell you, church, won't you stand with me? Join the choir. Turn over to page number 393, and let's sing together When We All Get to Heaven. Everyone sing now.
Sing the wonders song of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. Sing the mansion bright and blessed.
good singing. You can be seated.
I love that dark wind bells. When we all see Jesus, oh, that'll get your heart to stand up.
The Lord one day, aren't you? And hey, let me just say, there may be someone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And so if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my prayer is that you'll know him before we leave tonight. I want to welcome everybody. If you haven't been welcomed already by the sweet Holy Spirit, and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. And this is our Jubilee. I want to say, like Brother Allen said, closing night, but it may not be closing night. But if we close tonight, it's not going to be the end of Jubilee. The spirit of Jubilee will move on, will live on, and here at Calvary. But anyway, so good to be here. So good to see each and every one of you, and good to have Brother Mark Stroud with us tonight from Dahlonega and Georgia Wahoo Baptist Church. And what a blessing to have him with us. Of course, Deborah Perry and Jaden's call. So good to have you guys from Dahlonega too. I mean, you know, could have just rode together if everything coincided with one another. But no gold, you know. I can remember when I was a little kid going panning for gold up there. And I just ended up buying it in the shops, you know, fake gold. But anyway, so good having y'all. It's been a wonderful week here at Calvary, and I hope you've been blessed, those who have come this way. But I tell you what we're going to do. I talked to Lily, actually, my daughter, about singing a special tonight. And so she's going to come around, and she's going to sing one. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But I do want to pray and ask the Lord to bless the service and to bless the singing. Course, when it comes time for the preaching, to bless the preacher and the message. So let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, Lord. I am so very thankful for how you've moved this week, how you spoke to me personally. And God, I just pray that you'll continue to touch tonight. Lord, we're a church, Lord, that does everything decently and in order. But at the same time, Heavenly Father, we give room for the Holy Spirit to work and to move and to do a great and mighty work. The things that we can't do, only He can. I pray if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, that they will get saved, Lord. And I pray for those who are saved, if they're following from afar, that they would come back to the cross tonight. And maybe for the Christian who is downtrodden and bewildered, mentally just fatigued and getting ready to throw in the towel, that tonight they'll be encouraged, Lord, by the music, by the message, by the fellowship. That's what we want, is for there to be a jubilation tonight, Lord. We love you, Father. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Let me say this before Lily sings. We'll be taking up a love offering tonight for Deborah Perry and Jaden's call. So please be mindful of that.
Perfect King. Amen. He looks at me and wouldn't change. sounds like grace instead. You remind me who I am when I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is I am my Father's child. I make Him proud and I make Him smile. I made
several times since Sunday, but that little girl out there just had spinal and the Lord, her spinal cord was in the shape of an S, now it's in the shape of a T perfectly, and God has made the crooked things straight. Our theme for this week has been Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So what a blessing it is tonight that God can exceed our expectations if you'll just trust Him. Amen. All right, come on, Jaden's called. Let's give them a round of applause tonight as they come on up.
The glory of God. trying to judge it by any means. But the point being is, you know what? When you're in tune with God, guess what? God listens a whole lot better.
Amen.
No matter what you've been praying tonight, just remember at the end of every prayer, God is right there. Listen to the song.
Every broken heart can fall.
I'm
so there was a group there that night that sang this song that gave their vote away in court. Come to find out, the guy sang the song, wrote the song, the Lord had given her. So I'm like, I guess you're entitled to it. You wrote it. But little did I know, Pastor, the past 2 months that song would become my testimony. So I've raised a pastor's home. My dad was an ordained bishop in the church for 62 years. I always saw mom and dad get sick. I never got sick, just never did. I never saw the need to go to the doctor. Started having some issues this past year. My wife was like, you need to go ahead and go get a colonoscopy. Our amazement, they were little four polyps, and one was precancerous, and then I had no idea that they even had it. And of course, in the back of my mind, when you got both parents that died of cancer, automatically think doodly clean all automatically. And they found what they thought was non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. I've never drank, don't do that, aspirin, don't do none of that stuff. I'm like, God, what's going on? And so after that happened, come out of the colonoscopy from being on anesthesia, and the doctor said, we think you got cirrhosis. When I heard the news, I'm like, am I hearing this prayer? Because I was kind of out of it as it was. So long story short, they sent me the first CT scans and ultrasounds and all this. And within a 3-week period of time, I lost 30 pounds. Somebody said, well, how are you doing? I said, well, I just cut out all the junk is what I had to do. Because I want to be here for that. She told me something, I think it was a joke, though. She said, I want you to stay around as long as I'm alive, and after I'm gone, I don't care that anymore. I said, are you sure you said that? But all I know is this song become my testimony. No matter, and the thing is, they said I had it. The GI doctor told me I had it. Went to my primary care physician. He said, I'm not buying it. I said, you're not buying what? He said, that you got it. And I'm like, well, I'm just telling you what they said, of course. You're a specialty, of course. And listen, as I said, somebody before church tonight, I'm not saying that God will use doctors, he does. But there's something that you've got to remember. My dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We had about a week and he died. And God gave you a sermon, I'll never forget it. It was about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. Pastor, I heard that verse my whole entire life. And it's something when you're having to actually live it. When you're going through that trial, when you're going through that mountain, that temptation, whatever it is you're going through, got to learn. And men, listen, I'm talking to men. Men, you know, it's hard to give up that control, is it not? Because that's how we're geared. That's how God's created us. To make sure that everything is just in order in the household. So it's been very hard to let go and just let God. But this past week, I know I'm getting a little long. I want this to help somebody. This past week, went to another doctor, another GI doctor. My first one, they said that my blood work was inconclusive, and they can't tell me the reason why I have this so-called cirrhosis of the liver. So I go to another doctor this past week, and he said, I thought I was going to the Chick-fil-A pasture at the drive-thru. He said, so what are you here for? I'm like, hold on, first of all, you know why I'm here. And all of a sudden he says, I don't know if I'm missing something here, but I'm not sure why you need, and then it's got the ultrasound. And I'm just saying, well, I'm just telling you what they told me. Long story short, he said, even if they do a liver biopsy, he said, if whether it comes back good or whatever, they're just going to call this. And I said, you know what? I'm glad that I'm not just listening to your report. Kentucky. We really are kin. His dad's third great grandpa, my third great grandpa, were brothers. That's how we're kin. So if y'all are looking up here and say, well, they're tall and good looking, that's why. Anyway, we want to sing this song. My wife's family, the Perrys, made this song famous, popular. I'll call it famous to popular. I'll tell you what, no greater song has been written by the pen of Kyle Rowland. No matter what you're going through tonight, you can rest your case at the foot of the cross.
your granddaddy. He was my friend. So I loved him. He was a
good one. All right. Who in here has never heard Brother Mark Stroud? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Well, most of everybody's heard your brother. So there's some who have, but you make your way on down. Let's give Brother Mark Stroud a round of applause. Wahoo Baptist Church, Dahlonega, Georgia. On, brother. Or you take your place.
All right, if you got your Bible, open it with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. Book of Mark in chapter number 4. Lord, break some
yes.
Glasses there. Prayed I'd break them. I think Miss Calla Rowland could have sung the McDonald's value menu, and it would have had God on it. The Lord blessed her pen greatly, and has blessed a lot of the people of God with the songs that she has written through the years, and I thank the Lord for that. And 38 years ago, I rested my case at the cross, and I sure am thankful. I sure am thankful for the finished work of Calvary. Mark chapter number 4, let's stand together, and we'll look into the last few verses of Mark chapter 4, and then look over into Mark chapter number 5 as well. Bible said in verse number 35, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You can be seated. I want you to keep your Bible open, and we're going to look in between Mark chapter number 4. We're going to look over into Mark chapter number 5. But when I turn my Bible to Mark chapter number 5, I have walked into one of my favorite chapters of the Word of God. You preachers will understand that some chapters just lend themselves to preaching better than some of the others. And Mark chapter number 5 is one of those chapters for me. I think about some of the great chapters of the Word of God. I think about Hebrews chapter number 11, and where he talks about faith. And he tells us that it's a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then Brother Johnny begins to catalog to us some of the greatest Christians to ever don shoe leather. He said, by faith Abel, and by faith Enoch, and by faith Noah, and by faith Abraham, and by faith Sarah, and by faith Isaac, and by faith Joseph, and by faith Moses. And he begins to tell us how God used them and used the faith that they put in the Lord Jesus Christ to change their life. And we call that Hebrews chapter number 11. We have titled that, and folks that gone before us have titled that, the Hall of Faith. Amen. Where God puts on display some of the greatest Christians that ever walked this earth. I think about Luke chapter 15, one of my favorite chapters. 31 years ago, I took a text in Luke 15 at the end of April and started preaching, and I've always enjoyed that chapter. It's not the Hall of Faith, but when you walk in Luke chapter 15, what you find is there's a lost sheep, there's lost silver, there's a lost son, and there's a lost sibling. And if you were to ask me to put a title on Luke chapter number 15, it certainly wouldn't be the Hall of Faith, but it would be God's lost and found. Amen. I'm glad that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to be a statesman. He didn't come to be a politician. He didn't come to be an engineer. He didn't come to be a humanitarian. He didn't come to be a physician. But boy, he came and did exactly what the angel told Mary when he said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I like the way Paul said it. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'd say happy day, happy day. 38 years ago on a Sunday morning, when they were singing, Lord, lead my steps by the river that follow the way, I got born into the family of God. I repented of my sin, and I put my faith in the lovely Lamb of God, and my name was written in the Lamb's book of life, not to be ever taken out, not to be ever blotted out. I like what the old songwriter said, there is a record book, my name is written in. It was recorded there when I was born again. I'm glad, thank God, one day I'm going to see where it was written down. I'm thankful that God specializes in taking lost things and bringing them into the fold. I think about this Mark chapter number 5. It's certainly not the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith, and it's not God's lost and found. But you begin to walk through the verses of Mark chapter 5, and I believe you can see some difficult situations and some broken-hearted people. And I would title Mark chapter number 5 as the Hall of the Hopeless. Every situation you find in Mark chapter 5, from the outside looking in, from my perspective and your perspective, it looks like there's nothing that can be done. But aren't you glad we have a God who specializes in the impossible, that can do what we cannot do, and he can hear and answer our prayer to the glory of God. And the Lord will help me tonight for just a few moments. I want to look a little bit some things that are different from Mark chapter 4 and the situations that are in Mark chapter 5. And then I want to show you one thing that is the same in every one of these situations. I look first of all in Mark chapter 4 and the differences of Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 4, there in these Mark chapter 5, first of all, there's a contrast of problems. When you look in Mark chapter 4, they came to the Lord in verse 38 and they asked him this question, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, man, they thought they were going down. I mean, man, they thought they were on their last voyage on the Sea of Galilee. And you say, preacher, what is that? Well, in Mark chapter 4, the servants were hopeless. Amen. I mean, you think about Mark 4, and then you think all the way through Mark 5 and Mark 6. There's those in Mark 4 and Mark 6. There's stories that bookend, and they bookend with storms. There's a Mark 4 storm, and there's a Mark 6 storm. But you've got a miracle in the Mark 4 storm. You've got three miracles in Mark 5. Then you have the feeding of the 5,000. That's your fifth one. And then the sixth one, he walks out there on the water to where they are. And then when he gets in the ship immediately, I mean, man, there's seven miracles between two storms. Somebody tell me why we're so wired that all we can see are the clouds. All we can see are the storms. All we can see is the burdens. But can I tell you, there were seven miracles to two storms. I mean, it's almost always, sing about this day and time. I'm like that red book right there. I was raised on that red book, and it's a hymn book, amen. And man, our singing ought to be a hymn. It ought to be a hymn book, amen. Not a H-Y-M-N, but a H-I-M, amen. We want to sing about our struggle. We want to sing about our burden. We we want to testify about our difficulty. But can I tell you, listen, I've had more sunshine than I've had rain. I've had more blessing than I've had burden. Aren't you glad? Thank God. It's been better to us than we deserve. We should have died and went to hell. Oh, Brother Earl Hughes, the old mountain preacher, he made this statement some years ago. He said, if we will begin to consider life in this sense, that anything short of dying and going to hell is a blessing of God. If you woke up this morning with breath in your lungs and you're on the top side of the soil and the Holy Ghost lives inside of you and heaven's your home and he's your Savior, I'm telling you, God has been good. But they find themselves in Mark 4, the servants were hopeless. Well, you walk into Mark 6. You say, what's different, preacher? Well, in Mark 4, the servants were hopeless. In Mark 5, the situations were hopeless. I mean, you get off the ship and you are confronted with a man full of a legion of devils. You've got the demoniac. You've got the woman with the issue of blood. You've got Jairus' daughter. I mean, man, if you were to find that maniac at Gadara in our day, he would be down at the local insane asylum. He would have one of those jackets that buckles in the back. His arms would be tied. He would be so highly medicated, he wouldn't know if he was coming or going. Amen. He'd probably be walking around with drool coming out of his mouth, and nobody would ever go to see him. I think about that demoniac. In him, you can see what the Satan can do. I mean, man, we have an adversary who is seeking to devour us. In that demoniac, you see what society can do. I mean, we can put a man on the moon. I mean, we've got all kind of technology. We have cars that drive themselves. We can put pig's valves in a heart and help a human being live. But can I tell you what they can't do? They never have been able to touch the sin problem. They'll try to deal with a drunk, and they'll tell them to put a coin in their pocket, or they'll tell them to take 10 steps. I tell them they need to take a step toward Calvary. I mean, they'll tell them they'll always be an alcoholic, but I've got another book that said that any man be in Christ, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Oh, you can see what society can do. A society could not fix him. A society could not help him. So they shackled him and put him in the tombs. But thank God that's not where it ended. It's not just what society can do, and it's not just what Satan can do, but in him you see what the Savior can do. Amen. I'm glad that we've got that kind of God. But you find that demoniac, if you found him, he would be up there in the hospital. If you found that little woman with the issue of blood, I mean, she had been sick for 12 years and she had spent all she had, and she was none the better. I mean, man, if you'd find her, she would be in palliative care. They would have called hospice in to help her. I mean, they'd do everything they could to make her comfortable. But then if you found Jairus' daughter, she wouldn't be at the hospice, and she would not be at the insane asylum, but she would be down at the funeral home and the parlor. We'd be walking by and shaking her hand and shaking her parents' hand. But can I tell you, every one of those situations look hopeless. But then the Son of God steps into every one of those situations and shows us that he's got power over the devil and power over disease and power over death. I'm telling you, there's a contrast of problems. But then I see there's a contrast of position. Notice your Bible, verse 24 of Mark chapter 5. Now, we're King James men, aren't we? Yes, hello? Yes. Amen. Okay. You ought to say amen. You can't say amen, I'm in the wrong crowd. Amen. Amen. A rooster won't crow on his own barn, praise God. Ought to have his neck wrung and put in some chicken and dumplings, praise God. Amen. Everybody okay? So if we believe the word of God's inspired, then we've got to agree that the words that make up the word are inspired. I want you to notice there's a contrast, a position. Look at verse 24. The Bible said, and Jesus went with him. And the Bible said that much people followed him and thronged him. Well, Brother Hales, won't you come be Jesus right here for a minute? Come be the Lord right there. Amen. Brother Turner, won't you come, just come stand right here on this side. Preacher man, come stand right here in the front of him. Won't you help me, sir, right there on that side right there. Just stand there. Get close to him, but don't touch him. That Bible said that there was much people that thronged him. They weren't necessarily interested in him. They just wanted to see what he was going to do. See, there's a lot of people that want the label of a child of God, but they don't want the lifestyle of the child of God. Amen. They want the rights of being a child of God, but they don't want the responsibility of being a child of God. And there's many folks that sit on our church pews week in and week out, and they are satisfied. They are satisfied. They are comfortable just to be in the crowd that is close, just to be in the crowd that can say, hey, I was where Jesus was. I was in the crowd that saw him do this, and I was in the crowd that saw him do that. And God help you, if that's as far as you want to go, you'll never reach the depths of what it means to have a relationship with the Son of God. He doesn't just desire us. Some of us just want to be in the area code. Others just want to be in the zip code. And some of us just want to be like the disciples when he was going to Calvary, where it said they followed him afar off. Amen. Listen to me. Are you satisfied tonight just to be in the crowd, just to be close to him, just to get a glance every once in a while? I mean, that Bible said that much people thronged him. Now notice what verse 30 said. He's going down the road. All of a sudden he stops, looks at the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? In other words, there's a difference between thronging him and touching him. Amen. You've had a meeting on Sunday night. You had a meeting on Monday night. You've had a meeting on Tuesday night. You've had a meeting on Wednesday night. And now you're having your final meeting of the Jubilee service. My question is, have you got past thronging him? Oh, yeah, you can go to work tomorrow. And you say, boy, we had some singing last night and some preaching. But I'm asking you this, did you go home different? Then you came back Monday night and they said, man, why are you so tired? Well, or Tuesday morning. Well, I went to church last night too. And everybody at work thinking you're the greatest Christian there ever was because you went to church on a Monday night. Half of them can't understand why you go to church on Sunday, much less Monday. But my question is, did you touch him? What about Wednesday morning? You told them, they asked you, what'd you do last night? Went to church. Wow, three times in one service? Man, I go on Mother's Day and Easter and Christmas. Them CEO Christians, Christmas and Easter only, amen. Oh, you can tell them and everybody's thinking, praise God, what a Christian. But your life's no different tonight than it was Sunday. Oh, you got near, you can tell them what your favorite song was that night. You can tell them what they sang out of the red book. You can tell them what the choir sang. But I'm asking you, did you touch him? See, there's a contrast in position. Oh, they could have probably told you what his robe looked like and what his sandals looked like. But there wasn't but one lady that walked away that day whose life was forever changed, whose life was forever marked. I mean, has he changed you? Amen. Now, Brother Turner, that woman's been sick as long as Jairus' daughter's been alive. 12 years. It's a miracle. If you read about the medical things that they would have put her through with that sickness in that day. It's a miracle she survived the doctors. Y'all pretty good sized men. And I did that on purpose. You think that little woman that's been bleeding for 12 years, you think she had the strength to push you around or push you around to get to him? I don't think so. So how do you think she got to him? I wonder. Boy, I used to sing, I know all them old songs. I can't remember the new ones. They used to sing that. She pressed through the crowd, reached out and touched Jesus. How do you think she did that if she wasn't strong enough to get up here and mix it up with this crowd? See, I believe she got down here where there was no competition. Listen, everybody says you want to be a servant. You want to be a servant till somebody treats you like one. Amen. You want to be humble until somebody treats you like you're humble. Hello. I didn't drive 3 hours to come 90 miles not to preach. Amen. Amen. Y'all better be glad we had a little break between that traffic and the pulpit. Amen. See, I believe she got down here where there was no competition. There wasn't nobody lining up to crawl on the street. There wasn't nobody lining up to get humble. Had nobody getting low. But I believe she made her way in there and she reached up there and got to him there, that where that ribbon of blue was. I mean, there was a contrast. They were happy just to be near. But she came with a specific need. She came with a burden, and she went home different for the glory of God. Are you listening? A contrast of position, a contrast of problem. What about a contrast of priority? Y'all sit there. Let me just keep the preacher for a minute. Notice your Bible. Y'all read verse 23. You talking about such words of faith. You'd think that was a child of Israel. Friend, that was a guard. That was a Gentile. A ruler. I was getting ahead of myself. He was a ruler. He's speaking these words of faith. They would have cost him his job. It's amazing to me. He didn't run down there to the temple for their dead worship to help his daughter. Did he? I mean, he's the one running the temple. He was the one that was over the temple. But he didn't go down there to their dead traditions. And let me just, before I get that, all traditions aren't bad. There's some Bible traditions. Amen. This young group now, any Bible tradition they think is law. No, if it's Bible, it's true. That's right. Everybody okay? Don't get nervous. Amen. Amen. You talking about such words? He said, I pray you just come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed. And he didn't say she might live, she might get better. He said she shall live. He's over there begging the Lord to go with him. Begging the Lord to go with him. You're Jairus now. I'm going to be the Lord. Amen. You was enjoying being the Lord, wasn't you? You've been trying to get your wife to call you Lord since you got married. I'm looking for her. I can't see her right now. She's hiding. Amen. Notice what your Bible said in verse 24. That Bible said, speaking of Jairus, and Jesus went with him. I believe the way the Bible, see, the Bible don't write things by mistake. He puts them in a certain order. He uses certain words. And I believe, according, Brother John, to the way the scripture's written right there, that when they leave and the Lord says, I'm going to go with you, I believe Jairus is in the lead because Jesus went with him. They're walking down the road. They're going to his house. Can you imagine the hope that sprang up in Jairus' heart? Man, the Son of God's going home with me. Hallelujah. I mean, man, as soon as we get there, it don't matter if we're there 5 minutes late, 5 minutes early, 5 days late. He's got enough power. Whenever he gets there, he can fix the problem. Don't you know, I almost think he was a skipping down the road. Honey, singing, help's on the hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. I mean, man, he was praising God. Then all of a sudden, he felt the Lord pull away from him and stop. And to Jairus, I don't care if it took 5 minutes, 15 minutes, or an hour. It seemed like an eternity to him. I believe Jairus probably went over there, just sat down. Come over here and sit down. He thought, man, I thought he loved me. I thought he was concerned about my burden. Did he not hear what I said, that my little girl was sick and if she didn't get any help, she was going to die? I thought he was going with me. And now he's worried about who touched him. Who in this crowd hadn't touched him? I mean, man, every bit of hope that was living in him has now been stolen away from him and probably sitting over there with his head between his knees wondering, it's going to be too late. As a matter of fact, it gets worse. They come over there in verse number 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? When he thought he couldn't go any lower, it got lower. I could just imagine, I've been a daddy of a young one. I could imagine I might have wailed out loud. I might have lifted my voice up and wept openly and sobbed openly to know that I was that close to her being healed. I was that close to God touching her, and now she's gone. And he walked over to where he was, and I believe he looked toward him and said, look here. He said them little words right there in verse 36, be not afraid. Only believe. I'm glad that's not the end of the story. But I like the language of verse 37. It said, and he suffered no man to go, verse 37, suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother James. Now verse 24 said that he went with him. He went with Jairus. But I believe according to verse number 37, when they leave this time, Jairus ain't in the lead. Because the Lord's saying who can go and who can't go. So I believe when they leave this time, that the Son of God's in the lead. He's the one that's going, and that Jairus is in tow. When they left the first time, Jesus was in tow. But now when they leave, the Son of God's in his rightful place. He's the one that's driving the ship. I wonder how many of us came tonight. And listen, you were driving your own life, making your own decisions, calling your own shots. Well, you ought to leave. You ought to switch seats. Because he didn't save you. He didn't spill his blood. He didn't die at Calvary. He's not seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you, for you to be the boss of your life. You know what gets me? They're leaving. I don't find anywhere in that text that Jairus had to tell Jesus where he lived. He didn't have to tell him what neighborhood he lived in. He didn't have to tell him what apartment he lived in. He didn't have to tell him on what side of the street that he lived in. He didn't have to tell him on what side of town he lived in. I'm telling you, we've got a God. When he gets in his rightful place in your life, he knows what your burdens are. He knows where your weaknesses are. He knows what your needs are. And you don't even have to tell him, amen. Thank you. a contrast of priorities. What's your priority? Calling the shots or following his? Then there's a contrast of people. Notice chapter 5 and verse number 6. That demoniac. Now, this is amazing to me. That demoniac, where does he live? In the what? In the tombs. Now, you know where those tombs are? Those tombs are up in the cemetery, up on the hills, in the high places. Now, this is, you know, obviously Bible times, so there wasn't social media. There wasn't websites. There were probably not revival flyers. Not some of these hot shots that have got a press corps that goes before them to announce we're having meeting. Jesus just docks the ship. Y'all notice what I'm paying attention to these words now. Notice what it said in verse 2. And when it was come out of the ship, notice that next word. Immediately. He lives in the tombs on the side of the hill outside of town. What got him out of the cemetery to the dock? I mean, he didn't get a reminder on his phone. Jesus is preaching today. He didn't have a revivals page in North Georgia that tells you where all the meetings are. Amen. Amen. There was not a phone tree that Gadara was sending out that day. And if they had one, they wouldn't have invited him because they were afraid he'd messed up the meeting. But see, I believe he was up there in the mountains up on the side of that hill, that tomb, and he might not have discerned everything that was going on out there on that ocean, on that Sea of Galilee. But all of a sudden he looked out there, and man, it was clouds and storms and lightning, and he could hear the thunder, and you could see how you could see it rain from a long ways. And then all of a sudden, this man walked up there on the bow of the ship. He can't hear what he said. He don't know who he is. But he knows this. It quit raining. The clouds broke and the sun started shining. I believe that old boy looked up there and said, man, I don't know who that is on that ship. I don't know what his name is. He said, but if he can do that with a storm, what could he do for me? I believe that old boy started coming out of the cemetery then and said, I'm going to be waiting on him when he gets off the boat. That verse 5 said, or 6, when Jesus saw him afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He went to Jesus. Look at Mark 5, verse 40. And they laughed him in scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother, the damsel, and them that were with him, and he entereth in where the damsel lieth. Jairus' daughter couldn't get to him, so he came to her. If Squire Parson ever got it right, everybody likes Beulah Land. I like the Broken Rose. But I really like the gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing, I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. And I'm glad he didn't put his pen down right there. I'm glad he didn't stop writing right there. But he might have paused and thought, man, that's where I am. But he picked that pen back up and said, he came to me. He came to me when I could not come. Oh, to where he was, he came to me. Oh, friend, aren't you glad? Hey, some of us came to him. I mean, we ran down an altar. We came to church. Oh, but then there's some of us sitting here. Oh, you didn't come to church. Oh, but he came to your doorstep. He came to your living room. I'm telling you, there's a contrast of people. I don't care if you get to him or he gets to you. Oh, when that you get together, business is about to pick up. All right, I'm about done. Let me give you just, we've looked at what's different. All right, I want you to walk through this text with me. Look at verse number 38. I'm going to show you what's the same. There's not but one thing that's the same in all of these situations. Now notice your Bible. Look at verse 38 of Mark 4. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. Look at Mark 5, 1. They came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Notice verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press. Look at verse 40. And them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. If I weighed 225 pounds and I was 30 years old, I'd preach for 3 hours on this thought. He's in the middle of it all. And some of y'all ought to rejoice that I'm a long way from 225 pounds. And some of y'all to get up and run a lap on the fact that I'm a long way from 30 years old. Or we'd be here, we'd be having a watch night service in March. Let me just give you the first one. See, in Mark 4, he was in the middle of the calm. In Mark 5, he was in the middle of the country. With that woman, the issue of the blood, he was in the middle of the crowd. With that little girl, he was in the middle of the chamber. Let me just give you the first one and I'm done. And he was in the middle of the calm. You ever thought maybe they shouldn't have gotten near as tore up as they were? Can I just show you three things in the text really quick? I'm not even going to preach them. Three things in the text that probably tells them they shouldn't have been near as tore up. But we get tore up, don't we? Well, Mama used to tell me, and I remind Amy at times, and sometimes I had to remind myself, she said, son, there ain't no reason for borrowing from tomorrow's trouble. And too many times we get tore up and we're worried about things that we don't even know are ever come to pass or not. I just be honest with you, I may be in heaven tomorrow. I mean, sometimes I just want to go borrow $1 million and let the Antichrist pay it off. Amen. Some of you are so tore up about something that may never happen. You are sacrificing today on the altar of tomorrow. What is it that, what's in the text that maybe they should have realized? Look at your Bible, verse 35. I like them red words in my Bible. Let me read that, verse 35. Right there to end. He said, let us pass over and drown halfway across. Let us get a little ways out there and then we're going to pray and the ship's going down. Is that what it said? Or did it say, let us pass over unto the other side? Notice whose words. What color are those words? Red words. That ain't what the disciples said. That's not what Peter said. That's not what James said. That's not what John said. That's not what the Pharisees said. That's not what the Sadducees said. That's what the Son of God said. And do you think if he said, let us pass over unto the other side, do you think that's probably what he meant? You say, preacher, why shouldn't they have been this tore up? Because they had the promise of God. This book is not just to collect dust on your desk or your coffee table for the week. And the only time your eyes should see the inside of these covers should not be when the preacher's preaching out of it. This is bread. We used to sing out of that brown book. We still sing out of the brown book. Y'all don't know what that brown book is. It's spiritual hymns. And we sing that bread sent from heaven, feeding my soul, keeping me happy, keeping me whole. Amen. its bread sent from heaven. Notice it didn't just have its promise. Look at your Bible. Notice what it said in verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. You know what the difference between the Mark 4 storm and the Mark 6 storm is? In Mark 4, he got in the ship with them. In Mark 6, he put them in the ship and sent them across. What about a God, before he ever put them in the boat to go across by themselves, he got in there with them to begin with? Could it be they shouldn't have been near as tore up, not just because they had his promise, but because they had his presence? He was in the ship. Did they really think they were going to sink with the master of the sea in the ship? How many of you can hear that? One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers danced on every hand. Angry waves around it blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows roll. How many of you remember that old song? They must not have heard it, because they thought they were going down. They thought they were done with him in the boat. Hallelujah. I like that third verse. I like that third verse of the old ship of Zion. At the stern of the ship is the captain. I can hear as he calls out my name. Get on board. It's the old ship of Zion. It'll not pass this way. Are you listening? You know what makes the ship what she is? Who's driving the boat, praise God. I'm done preaching. Would you come back to piano? Where's my piano player go? Come on, my brother, come help me. Come on, help me. I'm almost done. Say amen. I got a little further. Y'all going back to DeLonga? I got a little further than y'all. Y'all not going to? Well, y'all got further than I do. That's not the norm. Normally, I have the longest drive home. Amen. One more thing and I'm done. They had his promise. They had his presence. Notice what that Bible said. And he was in the hinder part of the ship taking Prozac. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have been quoting NIV. I'm sorry. He was in the hinder part of the ship getting a little toddy to calm his nerves. Huh? Surely it said he was in the hinder part of the ship taking a little melatonin so he could rest. Is that what it said? Or did it say he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow? They didn't just have his, they didn't just have his promise. They didn't just have his presence. They walked back there and he's resting. You know what they had? His peace. The biggest reason they shouldn't have been tore up was because he wasn't tore up. Y'all listening? Amen. How many times you daddies, when your children get scared and you are around, they go run, get behind you. Now my boys had any sense, they'd have ran to their mother. 5'2". Auburn red hair. Little hands, little feet. Means everything you think it does. High blood pressure, wound tighter than a banjo string. And our people ought to thank God I'm the pastor and she ain't. There wouldn't be no grace preaching, it'd all be law preaching. Amen. Ask me how I know. Behind every preacher, there's a preacher's wife that can preach better than him. That's why God didn't let ladies preach, because we couldn't take it. But I've had my boys get scared and run behind me when they were small, and they'd peek around me. Could it be the reason we're tore up as we've not got close enough to see him, to him, to see that he ain't scared? I'll never forget. I was about 10 years old. I wasn't little, but I was 10 years old, about 10. We were at Georgia Tech football game in Atlanta. And that was the first problem. We should have been in Athens, praise God. That's where they play football in Georgia, is in Athens. I'm making some friends now, ain't I? I didn't say listen, if I was going to get somebody to build a bridge, we'll go to Tech, praise God. If we're going to play football, we're going to go to Athens, amen. Somebody ought to say amen, or I'll preach right there for a little while. We were standing there in line to go to the bathroom. And these two drunks come fighting through the line and knock me away from my dad. And at 10 years old, I wasn't 6'6 like I am now, but I was still pretty good size. And I was almost as big as those two men that were fighting. And they were squared off at one another, and I was standing in between them. And I was scared to death because I thought, man, what do I do? You know, they're about to fight. Now, what those men didn't count on, that when my daddy was an ex-Army MP. I'll be honest with you, I'd never seen my daddy fight. I've just seen pictures of my dad in his MP uniform. And I knew this at 10, I didn't want none of him. But I was standing there wondering what I was going to do. I was scared to death. And that man was drawn back, ready to hit that other man. If he had swung, he'd hit me right in the mouth. And all of a sudden, my daddy reached across that little iron gate that got between us, and he put his hand on that man's shoulder. There was no quiver in his voice. There was no laughter. There was no chuckle. My daddy put his hand on that man's shoulder, and he said, sir, he said, if you hit that boy, he said, I'll kill you where you stand. I wasn't scared no more. Matter of fact, I think I might have even teed my chin up just a little bit. I might have just been thinking in my head, hit me now. Hit me now. Because I want to watch my daddy whip you. Y'all pray for me. I wasn't saved then. I didn't get saved till I was 13. If I'd have been saved, I'd have prayed for my daddy to whip him, watched him whip him, and took up an offering for him. Amen. But you know what? You know what gave me peace in that moment? Because I saw my daddy wasn't scared. And you may be thinking I'm going down. You might need to just get up there, get past thronging him, and get in there to touching him. And what you might find when you get close, it might let you realize you're scared, but you might just find out that he ain't. And he's not going to let you go down. Every one of these pews has a different struggle. Every one of these pews has a different burden. Every one of you have a different path. And I can stand up here tonight with all confidence to tell you, no matter what it is, he's in the middle of it all. We're going to stand. Our brother's going to play. You ought not to have 75 verses. If you're in it, you're in it. And you need to know that he's in it with you. It'd be a good night just to slip around that altar and say, Lord, remind me of your promise. Lord, let me feel your presence. And Lord, let your peace rest in me. Would you come tonight? Would you slip around that altar on this closing service and say, Lord, would you help me? Would you come tonight? Would you come? Come on, Pastor.
This is with the Lord tonight. We've heard from God. Anybody? One's coming, two's coming. Is there a third? Let's settle it tonight. Let's give it to the Lord tonight one more time. Are you struggling tonight? Do you know Jesus tonight as your Savior? Whatever the need is, these altars are open for you. Bring your burden home. Leave it here tonight. Bring your burden to the Lord tonight, whatever care you may have. Now's the time to do so when the preached word of God has been preached. Is the Lord knocking on your heart tonight? Come on down. Others are here. Someone will put their arm around you and pray. Nobody prays alone. Nobody should pray alone. This is the reason we've had these services, so you could come and get help. Died today, if you died tonight, would heaven be your home? Where will you be 100 years from now is the question. Where would you be? Come and meet us down front. We'll talk to you for a little bit. There's still time, Christian. There's still time for you to come tonight, for those who know the Lord. There's still time for you. There's still time. God is able. He's able. Somebody might just need to praise the Lord tonight. Just say thank you for what you've done, amen. God's been good to us, church. God's been good. Unto him that is able, he is able tonight. Roll your burden on the Lord. Cast your care on him. He made a way for you tonight. Amen. He's made a way. When When I couldn't see no way, he made a way. He's my song tonight. He's my father tonight. He's my savior tonight. Praise the Lord tonight for Jesus. Do you love him? Come on, brothers. Sing it. Not enough. Cannot exhaust the love of God. Cannot outpraise him. You can't praise him enough tonight. He has saved you and changed your life. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Has he brought you through the valley? Has he made a way when there was no way? You tried to get out so many times, and it took you to get to the very end of yourself, and then the Lord got you out. Praise Jesus tonight that he is one who can reach down to the very miry pitch and reach us up, bring us up. Thank you, Jesus. Though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. What a blessing tonight. God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Y'all feel that too? Don't want it to be over. Don't want it to be over. Praise the Lord for a wonderful week of jubilee. We preached on that the other Sunday and had someone come to me and say, it says jubile. I said, well, happy jubile. Happy Jubilee. And but anyway, wonderful Jubilee. I want to thank everybody for just coming each night. Jaden's call, Miss Deborah, we appreciate you, Miss Debbie, and appreciate each and every one of you. And Brother Stroud, thank you so much for coming tonight, brother. We appreciate it. And everybody that had part in this meeting. I want to thank Brother Brian down below, who has had Junior Jubilee each and every night. And his wife, Miss Melita, is over here. Don't mean to embarrass her. And she can't be embarrassed, can she? And she can. But and appreciate him and so very much. And, well, I guess we'll dismiss. You know? Oh, there is one thing we need to do. I knew I was stalled for a reason. Brother Don Nettles, and can I get another, Brother Dion, possibly, or CJ? We're going to take up a love offering for the group tonight, and want to be able to be a blessing back to them. It costs to be on the road traveling, you know, and fuel alone for that big beast out there. It costs a lot. So I just ask if you would just... you were blessed tonight, and even if you weren't blessed tonight, give if you would. I know you were blessed, though. All right, well, let's bless this offering, and if you just give us some passing plate music there, we'll be concluded. It's passing plate music there, and then we'll be through. And everyone be blessed and be safe. Father, we love you. Thank you so very much, Lord, for this week here at Calvary. God, we have been touched in so many different ways, areas in our life. Lord, thank you so much. I just pray that you bless this offering, Lord, for this wonderful group who sings with conviction and power, Holy Ghost power. I'm so thankful for them, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you keep them safe as they go to their next place, their next meeting. Same with Brother Stroud and Everybody hear that tonight. Get us home safely. Let us be prepared and get prepared for the Lord's Day coming up on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated for just a moment, please. Be seated. Just a moment. I want to ask Brother Snyder if he would just conclude the meeting in a prayer, if you would do so, please, sir. And then we'll be dismissed. Brother Snyder.